The first guest of the evening is truly a poet. He's an artist. He is a friend and an inspiration to anyone who I think who has ever played the guitar or tried to write poetry. Would you please welcome Gordon Lightfoot?
When it's midnight on the meadow and the cats are in the shed and the river tells a story at the window by my bed, if you listen very closely, be as quiet as you can, in the yard you'll hear him. It is the Pony Man. This is Carefree Highway Revisited, the show that celebrates Gordon Lightfoot's music song by song, a proud member of the FM Podcast Network. I'm your host, Mike Messner, and with me today is a fellow Lightfoot fan coming to us today from the Pacific Northwest, Brittany Jean. Brittany, thank you for joining us on the show today.
Thank you, Mike. It's certainly my pleasure.
So, how did you first get into Lightfoot's music?
Well, I would have to say, like so many artists, I have to thank my mom and dad for sharing their favorite music with me as I was growing up. And Gordon Lightfoot is one of those. They still do actually, have a very nice stereo that has been in our house forever and a lot of vinyl records. So Gordon Lightfoot's albums were playing in our house all the time. We were listening to his music all the time. So I just kind of naturally became a fan. And I think in high school is when I started to really pay attention to the songs that I'd heard forever and the lyrics and his writing. And so my appreciation has grown and grown over the years. Just music I grew up with.
Exactly my own story, growing up with the albums and then hearing things on the radio too, of course. So yeah, both our parents obviously, you know, sort of set us up for that. What about experiences seeing Lightfoot perform? Did you get a chance to do that?
I never did. And it's one of those regrets. I would have loved to see him and to hear him live. My mom and dad did many, many years ago in Chicago. I think at the Rosemont Theater, they got to hear him live. And my sister got to go hear him, I think in 21, maybe, but I never did.
You missed something, unfortunately.
I know I did.
I only got to see him once. So, I mean, I guess I can't say much, but I've had people here who saw him 100 times.
I'm jealous of anybody who's seen him once, let alone 100 times.
Yeah. And so what we have, though, are the songs, and that's, you know, what it's all about. You wanted to talk about The Pony Man. Sweet, sweet song. It was re-recorded for Gord's Gold 2, but it was never released as a single. And it's probably not a song that a casual fan would necessarily recognize. So why did you want to talk about it in particular? And then are there any particular anecdotes you have about your experience with the song?
The Pony Man is one of my all-time favorites of his. I think it is just such a magical, whimsical story that, so going back to my mom and dad, my dad, when I was really little, he used to sing this to me and to my siblings at night. And it's one of those experiences that is very much like a bedtime story, because you just go along on this very magical story with whoever is mentioned in the song. And when I say a bedtime story, it's an adventure, but there isn't danger. There's no fear. Like, it's just very sweet from start to finish. I love how it's written. It's like a picture book. I don't know if you're familiar with The Ship of Dreams. That's a story by Dean Morrissey. And I've always imagined it in that kind of a world. So yeah, I love this song.
You know, again, it resonates with me. I first heard the song on Pandora when my wife was pregnant with our son. And I absolutely loved the song, and I knew that I wanted to learn it right there. And so I made up my mind that I was going to learn it. And by the time Stephen was born, or actually a few months before Stephen was born, I learned it, and I actually sang it to my wife's tummy while he was still in there. And I can remember that the first time I sang it to him while he was in his crib after he was born, he kind of gave me a look as if he might have recognized it.
Aww.
And he doesn't remember this at all, of course, but...
but you do.
But you I do. Yeah. One of the sweetest songs that I've ever heard. And you said that it's adventure without danger. We're going to talk about that in a minute or two. I'm assuming that the best setting for you to listen to this would probably be at night. If you're not in your bed, you're probably not too far removed from going to bed. I know that for me, it would be at night wherever I am. Of course, I would never object to listening to it, but to me, it conjures up and evokes the idea of being at night, not too far from bedtime. Is it the same for you?
I absolutely agree. It's like the perfect setting. Or walking at night, or it doesn't have to be necessarily going to bed, but but yeah, definitely I could picture walking under the stars or driving home at night. Yeah, I agree with you.
So Lightfoot said this about the Pony Man, and I'm quoting directly. This one goes back to the triplex on Farnham Avenue where I was living with the wife and two kids, and I'm assuming that's in Toronto. I wrote this for my kids, Fred and Ingrid, in a very short time. I didn't act the role of the doting, guitar-toting, singing father figure, but I would occasionally play the odd riff for the kids. I found out that a lot of the time, they really couldn't care less. Kids don't really care what you do. They just want to be with you, end quote. And I think there's a lot of wisdom in there in addition to a lot of experience, and it's something that I wish I had known about sooner in my own journey of parenthood. Is there anything else you know about the song's origins, or does that basically sum up how the song got written from what you know?
That is actually more than I knew. I don't know the background of the song, so that's really cool to hear.
I had at least one question. I didn't know if Gordon had a particular affinity for horses. He doesn't necessarily have to have had that, but I wasn't aware that he did have an affinity for horses. Are you aware that he had been around horses or knew anything about horses?
No, and I'm trying to think of what other songs that he wrote that include horses, and nothing comes to mind. That doesn't mean that there isn't. No, I wouldn't have made that connection. So when I think of an artist who definitely has an affinity for horses, I think of Michael Martin Murphy. And Gordon Lightfoot, I don't have that same connection.
You have to think of the horseman in Don Quixote, but
other than that,
nothing else really jumps out for me for him either. We should also say you talked about a picture book. This song also inspired a children's book of the same name called The Pony Man, although the illustrations were not necessarily ones that I would have chosen. And I think the book is out of print now, but yeah, I think it was kind of interesting that it was so beautifully phrased that somebody would decide to write a children's book about it and then put it out. As I said, I'm sure it's out of print now, except maybe on some alibris.com or maybe on eBay or something like that. But I think it would be fun to possess if anybody was ever of a mind to get a copy.
Have you actually read that?
No, I didn't even know that the book existed until I started doing research for this show.
I think that it would be really cool if another artist or more artists took that same idea, because I haven't seen that picture book other than just the cover. So I don't know what is on the inside, but it would just be perfect material for anyone. It would be cool.
Yeah, the lyrics to it, again, they're so perfect. They're so harmless. They're so charming. The only other example of that that I know is that somebody took Paul Simon's song At the Zoo and turned it into a picture book. And I have seen it and I've seen the inside of it, and it's pretty much what you'd expect. But I haven't seen this one, and I think it would be fun to do that. I'm just not sure I want to spend the money or the time trying to hunt down a copy of it, because it might take quite a while. But the song was re-recorded on Gord's Gold 2. We'll talk about that a little bit later. And then it also appeared on a bootleg that was recorded in December 1977 at Avery Fisher Hall in New York City. Apparently, Lightfoot saw some kids out in the lobby of this building when he came in and said, I'm going to dedicate this song to them. So it was not necessarily a song he had planned on performing, but I'm so glad that he did, because I know the audience loved it. And apparently the people who have heard the bootleg say it's one of the best bootlegs they've ever heard by anybody.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's very cool.
So let's go into the lyrics a little bit. And I have to tell you, there's not a whole lot of mystery to the lyrics. I think they're pretty straightforward, but there are a few things we can get into a little bit. When it's midnight on the meadow and the cats are in the shed and the river tells a story at the window by my bed. So right there, we know that he's talking about a happy dream within childhood, maybe his own childhood, maybe somebody else's childhood, but he's talking about at night and you're in your bed or by it. For a little kid, I can't imagine there's any place safer than that, except maybe being in your mother's arms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to be like that. You're listening to Carefree Highway Revisited. We'll be right back after a word from a podcast partner or two. Hey, I just wanted to take a second to tell you about my latest podcast discovery. Fire Breathing Kittens is an actual play one-shot podcast that plays various tabletop role-playing games with a season-long plot. Because there's a beginning and an end to each week's story, you can start at any episode. Yeah, you won't miss a thing. Every week has a different combination of four from the same rotating cast of people. Join fire-breathing kittens as they solve detective mysteries, attempt comedic banter, and enjoy friendship. That's Fire-Breathing Kittens podcast. Check it out.
Hi, this is Audie Martello, the host of the Mostly Folk podcast, a 60-minute foray into the music we all love. You will hear newly released albums, classic folk, country, and bluegrass music, as well as some traditional music that may or may not be true to the genre. Sometimes irreverent, often opinionated, but always entertaining. You may even hear a radio magic trick every so often, as well as numerous interviews via Zoom and telephone with established as well as indie artists. Mostly Folk is available wherever you listen to podcasts and always at mostlyfolk.org.
They never seem to kick or bite. They only want to play. Now, Brittany, I don't know if you've ever been around horses. I have just a little bitty bit. But ponies and horses are very easily spooked, at least in my own experience. And if you have kids who don't have a whole lot of self-control, that's going to happen a whole lot. So the idea is maybe he's trying to disarm anybody, saying, okay, no, they'll never kick you. No, they'll never bite you. These are going to be the most harmless, beautiful creatures you've ever seen. So does that resonate with you either in terms of experience or interpretation?
It does, yes, because growing up around horses a little bit, I remember being told that you need to let the horse know, like if you're walking up to a horse, you need to let them know that you're there. You know, you talk to them, you don't walk right behind them where you could get kicked, or you have to be mindful that they can be skittish. So in this song, I'm going to overuse the word, but very sweet that he just instantly lets you know that these horses are our friends and they're not going to kick or bite.
Yeah. And you got to think that he was wondering, I don't know if Ingrid and Fred had ever had bad experiences, but I do think he was running ahead of it, saying these are not things that a child has to be afraid of. And they live on candy apples instead of oats and hay. And I'm not sure why he chose candy apples, except maybe for poetic reasons, except that maybe that's something that they can share. I'm going to bring two candy apples to my pony and he's going to have one and I'm going to have one. Mm. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. And I also think that it goes hand in hand with the friendliness of these creatures that, well, why wouldn't they want candy apples? Mm-hmm. If that's the option, then of course that's what they want.
Yeah, because most children don't live on oats and hay, maybe oatmeal, but right. See, it's certainly not that idea. And soon we all go sailing off into the midnight sky. And I think of a Pegasus, you know, the winged horses. So that makes it even more magical. It's not just a horse that can go really fast. It's not just your friend. It's not just something harmless. Now you're going to fly.
Now there's real magic.
Mm-hmm. I mean, all dreams, I think, are magic to a little kid, but particularly something like this. There's Tom and Dick and Sally and Mary Jo and me. I'm wondering, do you know if these are reminiscent of anybody in real life from Gord's experience, or is he just making these names up?
That's a great question. So I don't know the answer, but as a writer myself, I'm guessing that these are just names made up to add to the character list. We all go sailing. So you know that there's more than just yourself. But now there's names that go along with, well, who's on this adventure?
You know, it would have been interesting if he had known the names of his kids' friends,
That's possible.
They could have added that too. It's possible that those were the names of his kids' friends.
That would be really cool. I hope that's true.
Yeah, that's one of those things I'm afraid we'll never know. Mm-hmm. But it's fun to think that it was. And he gives a whoop and a holler at Mr. Moon's front door, which is a really sweet personification. Because I don't know if you grew up with the idea of the man in the moon, but I certainly did. And I'm sure Gord did. Is that somebody ever told you about the man in the moon?
A little bit, yes. I love the whoop and a holler. Just these little descriptions to help you form the picture, right? So that's the pony man and the idea of following him, and he's calling out to the man in the moon. I don't know a lot about the man in the moon, but I do know that in different stories he appears.
Yeah, I don't know a lot about it either. But again, it's very, very sweet. And the fact that he's giving a whoop and a holler as opposed to knocking on a door and saying, excuse me, you don't know me, but I'm... So there's a familiarity there. So again, it's just so perfect. And then we stop to rest a while where the Soda River glides. Now, why do you think he chose Soda rather than just any other kind of river?
Well, Soda could be just another sweet description. I've always pictured a very fast moving river with, you know, the white caps. And so like the foam or...
You know, the only thing I can think of is that, number one, it's harmless. Okay. You know, even if it's fast, you could go into this and you'd be fine. And then also, Soda is something else that small kids, if they're allowed to drink it, enjoy. Well, I grew up drinking Cokes and 7-Ups, and especially when we went out to dinner, my parents didn't keep them around very much because they were very health conscious. I know that a lot of my contemporaries and a lot of kids today, they'll be drinking soft drinks. And I'm not saying that to judge them or put them down. I'm just telling you the way it is. I almost think of Willy Wonka.
I was just thinking that too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It could be a literal soda river.
Indeed. Up to the slip comes a pirate ship to take us for a ride. And then later on, we go in search of treasure and laugh the whole night through. And this is where I think Gordon is revealing his own dreams and his own experiences. Now, this is something that you can give me perspective on. Because that's what pirate ships do, don't they? When we think about Treasure Island and we think about Peter Pan, this is going to be really especially appealing to boys who romanticize pirates and adventure. That was my own experience growing up as a young man. I don't know if girls do that in the same way when they are young. I'm not saying they do. I'm not saying they don't. Little boys would do that. So is that something that when you were younger or your female friends, was that something that they wanted to do, was to be on pirate ships?
Well, I would say that in games when I was a kid, if pirates were involved, we were probably trying to get away from the pirates, not join the pirates.
Okay.
Until like Pirates of the Caribbean came out where, oh, you know what? That could be kind of fun to go on those kinds of adventures.
And to play, I can't remember the name of the female lead in that series, but or the actress who played the female lead. And if there was anything that we had when I was growing up, it was the girls were going to be the damsels in distress. They were going to be the Tiger Lily. They were going to be Wendy. I think it's probably changed a little bit since then. But there is something that, to what you say, that there was a gender stereotype. Can't think of a better way to say it. Maybe until the Johnny Depp movies came out. And when the hold is filled with gold and the sails begin to strain and the decks piled high with apple pie, we head for port again. Now, I loved this because gold, every pirate is after gold doubloons. No pirate is in real life going to go after apple pie, but it's something that kids can relate to. I mean, I don't know anybody that didn't like apple pie. So that's a real treat. You think I'm on the right track there?
Yeah, I think so. I also think it's another one of those being a pirate that's going after gold and apple pie. Again, you don't have to be afraid of those pirates, and you can be adventurers together.
Yeah, there's no enemy. You don't have to kill Captain Hook. You don't have to get away from some other evil thing like a crocodile or a dragon or something like that. So again, it's harmless, because if they brought something sinister in, all of a sudden, this is no longer a good dream.
Right.
You know, it's right. Now there's one element, and the way our minds react when we're dreaming, the whole thing's ruined at that point. Then down the whirling staircase, so swift our ponies fly, and we're safely in our beds again when the sunbeams kiss the sky. They've dreamed all night. They're waking up safe. They're waking up happy. And I think it's fair to say that that's what we all want for our children.
Mm. Yeah, so, you get home from your adventure just in time.
Just in time, and you're safe. Mm-hmm. You have nothing to show for it except good memories.
And a really good story to tell.
Well, the song appeared on the Sit Down Young Stranger album in 1970. Of course, it was relabeled to be If You Could Read My Mind. This is the last track on the record. The album went to number 8 in Canada, number 20 in Australia, and number 12 in the US. So saying this was his breakout album might be a little bit of hyperbole, but I think it's actually not bad assessment of it. The song was not released as a single, although there were three other songs from that record that were released as singles. And of course, the title track, If You Can Read My Mind. And I think Me and Bobby McGee was another one. Brittany, what to you, since we're dealing with a song that's been recorded twice, what to you is the best musical element of either or both of the recordings?
That's a really good question. I think, well, for both recordings, I think something that he did really well and his musical team did really well is how well the music and the lyrics blend and work together. Thinking about how it goes, the music that pops out to me is just the guitar pattern, the picking pattern. But when I listen to the song, I'm always very into the lyrics. Sure. So I guess I'd have to go listen to them again to pick out like, oh, well, this right here, this moment. But the lyrics are what grabbed me the most.
Of course, that's why we spent some time on the lyrics.
Yeah.
You're listening to Carefree Highway Revisited. We'll be right back after a word from a podcast partner or two. One minute, you're a teacher preparing for the new school year. The next, you're transported to a fantastical realm shrouded in forgotten magic. The creatures around you think you're a long-vanished mage. You have no technology. You have no memory of how you got here, and no idea how to get home. All you have is misplaced magic. Haladar, The Last Surveyor is the new fantasy novel by acclaimed author Rob Perrier. Available now on Amazon.com and RobPerrier.com.
In 1942, when the world needed a hero to fight the forces of evil, a woman had the courage to step forward. Her name was Helen Meeker. Her adventures took her across the United States and behind the lines of both the European and Pacific fronts. President Franklin Roosevelt trusted her judgment. Adolf Hitler put a price on her head. And in the face of overwhelming odds, she battled through everything that was thrown at her, dodged death countless times, and challenged the most diabolical figures in history. The star of more than 20 novels, Helen Meeker proved her grit and determination time and time again. And now the Long Highway Players bring the book series to life on the airways. These exciting dramas will place you in the middle of the action immerse you in riveting drama, plunge you into unimagined intrigue, and confound you with dark mysteries, while giving you the opportunity to live adventures in a time when the fate of the world hung in the balance. Enjoy the exploits of Helen Meeker and follow author Ace Collins's In the President's Service series on That's Not Canon Podcast Network.
You know, the first recording I heard of this was from Gord's Gold 2. He put in an electric guitar solo twice in the break, and I thought that was just so perfect that it's not in any way disturbing the whole ambiance of the song. It's just really, really perfect. And I gotta say that although I liked the whistling on the first version of it, when you put the whistling together with John Sebastian's harmonica, to me, it's too much. I really liked what John Sebastian did, and I thought we didn't need the whistling. And I understand that he was trying to make it casual. And that was obviously he didn't play harmonica while he was singing this to his kids because he's not known for that. I don't even know if he played harmonica. But I got to say that even though it's a little teeny bit intrusive, I liked the electric guitar vision just a little better. Well, in the original version, of course, Gordon was playing guitar and vocals. And you mentioned that the picking pattern was just so simple. And I think there were only four chords in the song.
Mm-hmm, it is. It's a simple song, really, in every way.
Capo 2, key of G, worked out great. Red Shea played guitar on the record also. Rick Haynes played bass. And I said John Sebastian played harmonica. And I don't know that there was a second guitar or a bass on the original recording. And if there wasn't, again, I haven't listened to it as carefully as all that, like you said, but I don't think it really would have needed it very much.
Agreed. Yeah. Less is more with the Pony Man.
Yeah, exactly. He played the song 194 times in concert. The first time was in June of 1971 at the Royal Albert Hall. And I can only imagine how beautiful that must have been because he was just off of that record. 1971, he's now just really becoming an international success. And then the last time he played it was on July 20th, 2021 at the Surf Ballroom in Clear Lake, Iowa, which if I'm not mistaken, was the last concert that Buddy Holly gave before he died in the plane crash, which is probably just irony more than anything else. Covers have been done by Michael Martin Murphy, you said, and then Linda Schrade. Those are the only two covers that I've heard. Now, let me ask you this. Have you heard either one of those covers?
I know I must have heard Michael Martin Murphy's version, but I can't remember what his version was like. So that's another thing I'm going to have to go look up and listen to because I love Michael Martin Murphy.
I know that you've covered a number of different Lightfoot songs. I'm going to talk about that in just a second. But do you have any plans to cover this on an upcoming album?
Not necessarily on purpose at first, but now I might be on purpose. I am kind of collecting Gordon Lightfoot recordings as I go along because I have recorded Song for Winter's Night and Looking at the Rain and Early Morning Rain. I also have recorded Long River, which will be on my next album. And The Pony Man is actually one that I loved his story about seeing the kids in the lobby and deciding to sing it because I've had on a smaller scale, I've had that experience of playing somewhere and noticing that, ooh, I have a small group of young kids over here. I'm going to pull the Pony Man out of my back pocket and play it for them. It's so much fun to sing it for who I think it's meant for. So I would not be surprised if at some point I do decide to record it.
I think you have decided to record it. It's just a matter of when that's going to happen.
I might have decided right now that yes, I will.
All right. Is there anybody that you would like to have heard do this song other than yourself? Are there any other artists that you think, wow, I think this person could do a fair job of it?
I think it would be really fun to hear Alison Krauss sing it quite a few years ago, I think. She recorded a cover of Shadows. Mm-hmm. That might be the only cover of Gordon Lightfoot's songs that I've heard her do, possibly. That would be really sweet. To hear her.
She has the right voice for it, you know, and I think I would want her to do a stripped down version of it rather than have the members of Union Station do it. There were two artists that I thought of. One was America when they were still a trio and when they were still in full voice. So when Dan Peek was still with the group, I think I might have liked to have heard that. These days, I think Sean Colvin, I think, could do a decent job on this. Sean is no longer really known for singing other people's words, but she has done covers in the past, and I think she could probably do an okay job on this one.
So I'd like to hear those too.
So as we're kind of shifting gears here, Brittany, is there anything else you wanted to say about the song specifically before we start talking about you?
Only that I'm so glad that you picked this song for today, or if I picked it. I did. I'm so glad I picked this song because I love it. It's such a good song.
Now, let's talk a little bit about your own musical career. You're from the Pacific Northwest, and I've been on your website, and I've seen a very impressive list of records. So I'm just wondering, to take one step away from Lightfoot directly, for you, What is the writing process? What's the production process? What's it like for you on tour? Just say the elevator pitch about Brittany Jean.
Oh, dear. I need to work on an elevator pitch for Brittany Jean. The writing process, I love, if it isn't obvious just by how much I like the Pony Man, I love story songs. And so if I meet someone or experience something, especially meeting someone, it is so fun to meet someone and learn someone else's story. Someone who might not see their story as something beautiful, and being able to reflect it back to them in a way that says, hey, you are magnificent, and this is a story worth telling. I love those. Touring, it is an honor to be able to bring my songs and other people's songs, because I sing a lot of cover songs, because I'm a big music fan too. So being able to bring my favorite songs to people, and just the whole experience of sharing with an audience stories and songs, and getting their stories in between and afterwards. And I love touring. I've been traveling a lot more in the last few years, which has been really fun. I really enjoy the new places and the new people. And I obviously couldn't do an elevator pitch because I just will go on and on.
Well, we're going up to the top of the Empire State Building, so it's okay.
Oh, okay.
Has your stuff been self-published, or are you signed to a label? What's that aspect of the story like?
I am a self-published indie artist. I do have a small team, and they are all family members, pretty much, who are willing to dream with me and just building as I can, brick by brick.
Fantastic. Now, you're going to be going on tour starting, is it next month, or when will your next swing around the circle be?
Yeah, I think it will start next month. I know during April and July, I'll be doing some more traveling outside of Washington. A lot of my time is here in Washington State.
So are you planning on coming down to the Bay Area?
I would love to. That would be very cool. Okay. If I can find some places to play, absolutely.
Well, I'll see what I can do, because I'd love to come backstage and meet you, have you meet the wife and kid.
That would be really fun.
Now, Brittany, we're going to listen to your song Lightfoot in just a second, but are there any other major influences on your music? Gordon, of course, is in a class by himself in all sorts of ways. Are there any other artists that really kind of smacked you upside the head and realized this is what you want to do with your life?
I have a lot of favorite artists. A lot of them are like Gordon Lightfoot, who I grew up listening to. For example, grew up listening to John Denver, Judy Collins. I mentioned Alison Krauss. Kind of more recently, which is my own fault, Joni Mitchell. Just probably in the last 5 or 6 years, I've been listening to more of her material, more of her library. Their longtime favorite is Sarah Grove. She's in a kind of a different genre, a different realm, but I love her writing. It's so honest.
Sarah Groves, is she a Christian singer?
She is.
Okay, yep. I thought I recognized that name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anne Murray, a lot of influences, a lot of favorites.
Now, when you're out on tour, is it just you and a guitar, or do you have any support on the stage?
It is just me and a guitar right now. It would be really fun to start bringing some more musicians in for many reasons. That would be really fun. Whenever I record, I always bring in studio musicians so they help me kind of fill out the recording, which is wonderful and so much fun.
You wrote a song about Lightfoot. Was there a particular incident that inspired you to write this, or was it just a way of expressing thanks to the man for the influence that he's been?
Very much just wanting to write a thank you to Gordon Lightfoot for his music has been kind of a soundtrack, a very familiar soundtrack in my life. And the purpose of the song was to thank him and to hopefully be a tribute, looking at his work in a mirror and saying, look how beautiful all of his work was. So it took a couple of years for it to all come together. So it was one of the longer writing projects for me, and recorded it in April of 23 with the full intention of sending it to him somehow, figuring out a way to give it to him. And when I got home the very next day, found out that he had passed away. So I never got to give it to him. And that was the purpose of it. But whenever I can share it with other Gordon Lightfoot fans, that's very sweet too.
Well, let's go ahead and take a listen, and then we'll find out a little bit more about where people can access your material before we sign off. So is Lightfoot by Brittany Jean.
The minstrel came to call almost every single night from the corner of the room in the candlelight. He told stories like a needle and a thread, spinning golden pictures in my head, capturing the iron road and those who tied the steel in colors deep beneath a time no longer real. Over prairie and the muskeg, the unknown distant trail of Fairland's memories all rendered on the rail, waiting to sail aboard his smiling silver heels, a summer breeze to feel high seas along her keel, setting course the world one time for a place to lay my head and sense the peace of an ocean bottom bed. Have you shared the danger in the rounding of the horn to reach the quiet comfort of her? Children in their midnight ride. The troubadour has claimed you, and once again you'll find prairie lights and stealing stars are sailing through your mind. Captain's men who were lost in freezing rain, a prayer for children then and now who still remain. I will climb blue rocky mountains, her shadowed moon abeam, and wander through the changes that lead to summer dreams, hoping to find that old winding river mill and rolling hills of bitter linger still. Then across the rippling sea to the midnight meadowland to listen oh so closely once again. Have you shared the danger in the rounding of the horn to reach the quiet comfort of her? Again, you'll find From the corner of the room in the candlelight, he told stories like a needle and a thread, spinning golden pictures in my head.
Wow. That's all I can say. That was so beautifully done. And it really does sum up a lot of what I think a lot of us Lightfoot fans, my listeners, myself, your friends, have to say about Gord's music. So where can people find out more about you, more about the projects that you're working on? How can they download or buy some of your CDs? What's your presence online?
Well, first of all, thank you. That was very sweet of you. To follow me, you can pretty much find everything on my website, which is bjeanmusic.com, B-J-E-A-N, music. Mm-hmm. And you can find my physical albums, my tour schedule, and ways to contact me. But my music is also all up on the digital platforms like Spotify and Pandora and Apple Music and hopefully anywhere where you listen to music, you should be able to find it.
Fantastic. Brittany Jean, thank you so much for taking time out of the life of a working musician to sit with me this afternoon and talk about Gord's music. And you mentioned Long River, and I'd love to have you back on the show to talk about that song.
Oh, that would be fun. Thank you for inviting me on. This has been really, really enjoyable.
And thanks for listening, everybody. If you like this well enough to listen to the whole thing, tell somebody about it. Carefree Highway Revisited is on Apple, Spotify, Acast, or wherever you get your listening matter. I'd like to make a special request for you to visit my Patreon page. I love this show so much, and I want to keep it going, and you're in a position to help. Please head over to www.patreon.com/carefreehighwayrevisited. A dollar or two a month is all I ask. You can reach me, Mike Messner, at teachermike72@gmail.com. Well, our next episode scheduled to join me will be my guest Quentin Kuntz, who has been on the show before, and he and I will be discussing A Passing Ship from the 1986 East of Midnight album, and that episode will be coming out in either March or April of 2025. Until then, for Brittany Jean, this is Mike Messner reminding you, run for the roses, but don't forget to stop and smell them. We'll see you next time.